In 2 Peter chapter 1, that's where we're at tonight, 2 Peter chapter 1, we've looked at this this epistle and started in this first chapter, and we're looking for themes that are at hand, and we've come upon that in this chapter, a reference to it that we'll get to tonight. But remember, in just an outline, you know, as you read the Word of God and study the Word of God, you know, try to get a structure in your heart and your mind about what the books are speaking about, what the chapters are speaking about. Brother Jim, that's a big book to do that with. I know it is. But try. Begin to put that together in your hearts and mind. And just as anything that we would do work-wise or hobby-wise or the affairs of our homes or anything, you know, we structure things in our minds. Some people are word people. Some people are picture people. But take the Word of God, and as you meditate upon it, maybe you don't meditate upon it, I would encourage you to meditate upon it and think about it, consider it, put a structure together in your mind, ask the Lord to help you with that, and it will be a blessing to you as you further study, as you live for the Lord, and as you look to be a witness for your Lord. The Lord will take that structure, and He'll take you, and He'll use that to direct you to the things that you need when you're dealing with different situations in your own life, your family, your work, and those that you're around and witness to. Okay, don't let this be a static affair, but let it be a dynamic affair in this charge that we have of our Lord to be students of His Word and learn more about our Lord. He's told us here that we can be the partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be partakers of such by His divine power, verses 3 and 4. He's given us and told us things that we need to add to our faith. We have faith from the Lord. Are you saved? If you're saved, you've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And add to that faith. And we took a look last time that we touched on this in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit that's manifested there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 26. It would be an excellent passage to memorize and portion to know what the Spirit of God living within exudes, if you will, puts forth out of the believer. So we're to add to our faith, we're to show these things, this fruit of the Spirit. Our Lord charges us that His desire, His purpose for us is to have fruit that remains. And it's only this fruit, the way that we build with gold, silver, precious stones, as it tells us in Corinthians, rather than wood, hay, and stubble. This is all part of us laying up treasure in heaven, being obedient to our Lord, and serving Him in every way. As the children sing on Sunday morning, this latest chorus and song that they're singing, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. If you believe the Lord, then if you and I believe the Lord, we will obey Him in what He says. Not just a head knowledge of it, but we'll take it and apply it to our lives. He tells us here that if we lack these things that we're to add, we can get blind. So much so that we'll forget that we're saved. That's how bad that it can get with somebody. Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, verse number 9. He says, don't go that way, but wherefore the rather give diligence, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That's a great, great statement. Fall. Fall from what? Are you saved? You've got the Spirit of God living within you. Do you avail yourself to the Spirit of God? Not a quencher of the Spirit of God, not a griever of the Spirit of God. We all have times that we do so. When we do we have spiritual enlightenment from the Lord and sensitivity to the Spirit of the Lord, that when we do quench and grieve the Spirit, we repent of it, get it right with the Lord? Our message last Wednesday about repentance and conflict resolution, resolving conflicts in the church. Don't go that blind way, but he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Clarity comes after the colon, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I just don't want to do these things. You might evaluate about your soul and your salvation. I just don't want to be like Jesus. Now, that's another way to say it. I just don't want to be like Jesus. You better evaluate the claim that you make in the salvation of your soul. And it applies to all of us. I don't understand. I'm not excluding myself. But if you do these things, we'll never fall. Listen to this. In verse number 8, and this is, there much more time could be spent on this. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of knowledge, my first thought is facts, okay? How the Lord walked, where he came from, who he dealt with, what he did. But understand this, if we add these things, we will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge, if you will, and the spirit of our Lord. How our Lord thinks. What motivates him? What is supreme in his operation and what he does? Our Lord is the quintessential example of all of these things, is he not? I mean, our Lord is the example of the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, is he not? And so we'll not just know, and for years I wrestled with this. You mean adding these things to my face will cause me to know more facts about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, indeed, in this pursuit of knowing about our Lord and the Word of God, that will be there. But knowing about him, as he says and challenges us in Matthew 11, learn of me. Learn of me. Do you want to be like your Lord? Let us examine ourselves and let us put these things to work in our lives. We left off last time in verse number 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe this verse has application here on this earth. A witness. You know, if you've ever tried to witness to somebody, encourage somebody, maybe you've had somebody that you witnessed to and the Lord used you to be a witness to them of salvation and the Lord saved them. In that way, those folks that we have in our lives that are that way, that were vocal about praying for us and that witnessed to us and all that, they're special to us, aren't they? Salvation, the Lord has saved us indeed, and by the Lord Jesus Christ. But that, the means that the Lord uses is special unto us. Yeah, I guess it could be talking about that entrance in the sense that we are received by the brethren, and as we manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, and we put on, we seek to add charity, and we manifest charity, love with legs on it, that we are blessed in the commendation that we get in being used by the Lord in that way. It could be that way. But I've always thought about this verse, about rather the entrance into glory to be with our Lord. How do you want to show up? Any of you that have had jobs, or all of us being children, when you obeyed your parents and it was reckoning time for whatever it was, Jimmy, go out and mow the grass by Wednesday or Thursday, whatever the thing was, and then Dad got home and I hadn't. The entrance wasn't that great. I fretted, and when it finally dawned upon me, and it kind of works like this, right? Your thinking crosses, or your lack of thinking in this case, begins to cross the minimum time you need to get the job done before the reckoner appears, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Dad's coming home in 2 hours, and it takes me 3 hours to get it done. I'm done. It's over, because he said have it done before he got home. That entrance is not too happy, is it? Somehow parents never forget. They seem like they're forgetful, but they never forget. Sometimes parents get tired and they just delay. But parents never forget, shouldn't forget. Anyway, how was that pleasing to you? It wasn't pleasant, was it? Well, our Lord has given us instruction about living for him in the rest of the time that we have in this life. How will it be at our reckoning and our appearing before him? May we keep that before our hearts and minds always. We will reckon with our Lord. Now, again, our soul is not in jeopardy of going to hell. We're secure in Christ. We're saved. You're solid. You're going to be with the Lord. But when the refining fire of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, we looked about His glory on Sunday, and we step into His presence, we come into His presence, whenever that is, and the glory of the Lord shines forth and burns up our wood, hay, and stubble, we'll have much to weep about, won't we? Wasted time. You know, I desire for you, each one of you that are here members of Olmsted Baptist Church, and for myself, that the entrance would be as our Lord declared when He gave the talents and the pounds to the several stewards or workmen, where He said to the two in each case, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They did what they were given. They did with what they were given. There was no race between them. But they had a commission from their Lord to do and abide till He comes. And how will it be with you and me? Don't shy away from these things, but be a pursuer of these things. Desire this entrance before your Lord. For so an entrance shall be ministered. If you do these things, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, I failed. Yeah, I have too. Brother Jim, I failed a lot. Yeah, I understand. I understand I have too. You know what the Lord's directive is to us? Repent of that and pick it up today and go on for the Lord. There's always forgiveness from the Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's His promise, right? 1 John chapter 1. That doesn't tell anything about self-grief and self-persecution, about things that we've failed in the past. What about today? And when tomorrow becomes today, what about today? Serve the Lord from here on forward. Don't wallow in guilt and dread. And don't be found, may the Lord help us, we not be found halted between two opinions, but that we would obey our Lord and look forward to that entrance before our Lord. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. How is it going to be ministered? The angels will carry us to be with our Lord. We might be of that generation that would see and go with our Lord in the rapture. It'll be you and I won't strap on the jet packs and take off. We're not stocking up jet fuel for that special time, right? Or rocket fuel. But that'll be ministered unto us, won't it? The Lord will call. And you know what? We'll go. We will go with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. We'll go. It'll be ministered unto us. Or the one that dies, their body, their life ends, their heart comes to the end of those beats, and the angels carry them on to be with the Lord. It's ministered unto us. It's ministered unto us. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's very bright there. It's very bright there. There's no shadows there. It's the perfect temperature there. There's no fretting about anything there. Our Lord is there. Our Lord is there. Yes, we want to see Him. Yes, we have work here to do. All those things are in His hands. But may we consider this as we walk along. In Psalm 116, this verse came to heart and mind and connected with this passage. Psalm 116, verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. They're finally released. They're nearer to complete and full salvation than they've ever been. What do you mean, Brother Jim? Full salvation, complete salvation. Your body's not saved. That's the reason it gives you so much trouble. Your body's not saved. Your mind's not saved. That's the reason it gives you so much trouble. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He brings them on to be with him. The separation that we have physically between us and our Lord is necessary. It's his design and his plan, but it's not the best. Brother, the Apostle Paul, didn't he say it's far better to be with the Lord? But for those that he had yet to minister to, according to the will of the Lord in his life, it was needful. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I think of Brother Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Is that right? In Acts chapter 7. In verse number 54 in Acts chapter 7, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. That is the Jews that were there against Stephen. They were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That means they're just grinding their teeth. I mean, they're angry. They're bad angry. Wrathful. But being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. You hear that? The bright, hot, white, hot glory of God Almighty and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, my Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ is going back to sit on the right hand of the Father. But there he says he sees Jesus standing, because precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. What an entrance. What an entrance that the greatest one, the most famous, the most powerful, the one who is life, the one who is everything good and nothing evil or wicked or sinful, would reckon and recognize you and me. What an entrance. You know, we would be really impressed and wowed by some of the famous people of the earth if they would have to do with us or recognize us. We would be invited to dinner or invited to have an audience with them for a few minutes. There's some that we wouldn't care about, but then some that we would be excited about. But this is the Lord. There's none greater than he. None greater than he. And you know what? It's not going to be, you know your name. Come on in here. It's not going to be like that, is it? It's going to be your name. You hear and say your name. Come on. Just like he's always known you. Because he has. He has. It's going to be sincere. It's going to be the warmest of all. Okay, come on up here and then check in with my assistant, and then you'll go out here on the back 40. But whatever it is our Lord has us to do in the millennial and then in the kingdom to come, we'll all be like we're right there with him, with the millions or billions that the Lord has saved and will save, however that is. What an entrance. I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God, verse 56, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." He declared it, and then he told them that. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Nothing else matters now. And kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Because that's the way death is with the Lord, it's sleep. But he died. He really did die. And he went on to be with the Lord. Angels, for the power of God, carried him there. How about that entrance? Will there be any kind of entrance like that in store for us? I don't know. I don't know if we would be called of our Lord to be martyrs for His sake. I don't know. If we are, may the Lord give us help. May the Lord give us help and strength to represent Him well. May we have in mind that entrance to be with our Lord. Verse number 12 in 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore I will not, because of this, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. I'm going to remind you of these things. Our greatest challenge is, as we've stated, and what's my greatest hindrance in adding to my faith? Well, it's forgetting to do so by whatever distraction that's at hand. Is that not the case? We forget. Something else raises in priority. It happens. It happens to me all the time. I get caught up in doing life, and I forget about representing my Lord and adding these things and being understanding that I need these things and need to add them to my life. He said, I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. You know, but you need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Reminded. Because we forget. I forget. Yea, I think it meet, verse 13, as long as I am in this tabernacle, speaking of His body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Does a challenge from the word of the Lord, does it give you a renewed zeal and desire? So, you know, I need to be better about that. Does it do that for you? I pray that it does. I pray that our hearts would not be so cold that we hear it and I know it, but I just don't do any good at it. Well, you know, what's missing there is going to the Lord for His help and His power. Talking to the Lord about it. Lord, I failed in this. Lord, I fail in this aspect. I fail in that aspect. And I want to do better at it. Help me to do so. And be of a heart and mind to pursue it. He said in verse number 5, beside this, giving all diligence. Be diligent in this. Are you diligent with your accounting? Be diligent with this. Are you diligent in your work or your schoolwork? Be diligent in this also. This has eternal ramifications. This is the food and the nourishment and the growing of our salvation and the new man. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. Yea, I think it meet, suitable, as long as I am living in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Look at our brother and his calling. He's got a death sentence upon him. He's heading to martyrdom. Has known it for years. Right? And you know what? He's not thinking about what he's got to do for himself, but he's taking the time to write an epistle, even to us. Even to us. Knowing that shortly, verse number 14, I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I don't have much time left, or whatever time I have left, that's the time that I have. And this is what the Lord has called me to do. Moreover, verse number 15, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Maybe we find the key verse here that tells us his motivation for writing these epistles. I want you to remember even after I'm dead. And you know, the epistle's done that over the centuries, hadn't it? Saints of God, brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember that? When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That fisherman from Galilee, an unknown, used by the Lord in this way, to even be found strengthening us here in this day. He says, even after I die, I want you to have these things in your memory. I want you to be reminded of these things. Now, we've got something that we go to and this is something, again, that every child of God, every member of one of the Lord's churches needs to have a handle on. This is your part of your foundational fare in the Scriptures to be able to deal with those who wrestle against the Word of God. Now, what do you mean, Brother Jim? Well, see, we've got a world of different denominations and religions, all cooked up by the thinking of men and a little bit of Scripture, the Scripture that suits. Why is it that Olmsted Baptist Church looks to abide by all the Scripture? Why is it that the Scripture is that, or as we say, our only rule of faith and practice? Why is it that way? Because it's the Word of God. And remember, Jesus was no freelancer, right? John the Baptist was not a freelancer. The prophets were not freelancers. And we actually do have some examples of prophets that tried freelancing in the Old Testament Scriptures, and it cost them their lives. Jesus wasn't a freelancer. He came and did the will of the Father. John the Baptist did what the Father had given him to do. And the apostles, they weren't freelancers, were they? No, there's no example in the Scripture that we should ever be a freelancer. We are given, as the children of God, and especially we here in His New Testament church, one of His New Testament churches, we are given directive from the Lord how to operate our commission, how we are to pursue that, and how we're to behave ourselves in the church of the living God. So, we come to this. Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." What's the context there? Gods of Roman mythology. Greek gods of mythology. Myths told by some to be the truth. We've got those spirits running around in our world today, right? Evolution is that. It's a myth. It's a cunningly devised fable, isn't it? And all the other things that are purported by denominations and religions and such as that, they're cunningly devised fables. The cunningly devised fable that if I can just get you in this water, you will be saved. That's a fable. Has no scriptural basis whatsoever. As an example, do this list of things and you will be good with God. God will accept you. God will receive you. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." What is it with fables too? They get passed on, don't they? They get passed on from generation to generation. And what happens with generations passing on fables from generation to generation? We tweak them. Because the present generation always knows more than the generation past, right? So we think, right? Isn't that the way it is with mankind? We are wiser than our fathers. Yet the great accomplishments of our fathers smack us right in the face and we won't yield to understand that they had knowledge too. So fables change. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he came and that he did come and that his coming and his power in doing so by the Word of God, the power of God, the work and the plan and purpose of God." That's it. That's what all this is about. "We made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We saw him. Surely this man is the Son of God. In John chapter 6, after the Lord dealt with the free lunch crowd and they went away, he asked the disciples, "You guys going away too? Will you go away also?" And Peter stood up and said, "To whom shall we go? You are the only one with the words of life." You're the only one. There's no other place to go. He said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, his glory, his divinity. For he received from God, Jesus received from God the Father, honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that is from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, Peter may not have been there when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, but there were enough brethren there to where it got written in the accounts of the gospel when John baptized him. And he came up out of the water, and the Spirit of God descended from heaven like a dove and abided upon him. And we have the Trinity there testifying to the fact that this is the will of God. But Peter was there, as we saw on the Mount of Transfiguration recently, when he let his glory shine. And Moses and Elijah are there talking with him about his death at Jerusalem. He wasn't shying away from it in any way. And Peter heard it. The Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Now these words aren't mentioned here in this chapter, hear ye him. But they're indicated because Peter is making this case and making this presentation that it's what God has said is what's supreme. His word. Listen. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The very words of Jesus are a light shining in a dark place. The very words of God, that Bible that you hold there in your lap and in your hand, is the word of God and the light that shines unto us. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. I think he's speaking there about being converted. The context of this epistle is writing to the saints. That you hear the Lord speaking to you personally. This attitude that we might have, and maybe we've all had it at times, or I've had it at times. Well, you know, they down there do that. No, that's what we believe. That's what the church that I'm a member of believes and holds to. When we're convicted of the Lord, that the Lord is here, he is in our church, he is in us, and his word means something, we're to follow that. We're to say no to ourselves and yes always to the Lord. Knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It says what the Lord means it and tells it. God says what he means and means what he says. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the way it came, and that's the way it was coming, right? As the Lord was working on Peter to write. And as he indicates in this epistle, as he's moved upon Paul to write. And as he moved upon the brethren to write the Gospels. As he's moving upon John to write the books that he has written or will write. It's the word of the Lord. It's the light that's shining in darkness. It is the word that you and I need to hear. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Does the Word of God mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you? Or is it kind of something that you and I might dabble at? Or do we really see it for what it is? The directive of our Lord for our lives. Our personal lives, our families, and our church. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us indeed in this.